Well, Bob Elliston is the Vice President of Racing and Sales at Keeneland. He is nice enough to spend a little time with us here this morning. Bob, welcome, my friend.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Jude. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Everything's great. Happy to have you on board. Less than a week away, how are the preparations coming for Fall Stars weekend?
Well, the sun's shining, the grass is green, the leaves are turning. The fields are shaping up for what holds an incredible weekend ahead of us. But you know, this is my last weekend to be a fan. I can't wait this afternoon to watch those Belmont races and those races at Santa Anita and then the Arc, in Paris tomorrow. But it's over come Monday and we go to work, and it's going to be extraordinary, I think.
You know, Bob, it's great to hear you say that, and I've known you since you were at Turfway when we were just getting started here on the network, and we were broadcasting Kentucky Cup Day and yeah. and Spiral Stakes Day and all those races that you had up at Turfway Park, and now to see you here at Keeneland and hear you talk about being a fan, you've always been a fan, even when you were running Turfway Park.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to. When you grow up in Central Kentucky like I did and might have blown off a few classes at Eastern on Fridays in April and October and came over here to Keeneland, you know, I said it like this. I might have the best job in the world, and I'm one of those fortunate people because it's like a kid growing up in the shadow of Yankee Stadium who was a Yankees fan. That's what I feel like. And then go to work at Yankee Stadium, right, or for the Yankees, and that's what I feel like. Every day I walk in here and I come onto these hallowed grounds and I think about all the great things that have happened here, and to be a part of it now, cut my teeth at Turfway, and the old adage, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? It was formative for me. Every day we went to work hard up there and battled up hills sometimes, and then to go to the Breeders' Cup and be part of that incredible deal. But this is home for me, and these moments are hard not to reflect back on how fortunate I am.
Yeah, you're coming off a huge sale too, record-setting sale. So being director of sales and racing, you wear a couple of hats, but you got that in your back pocket as you start the meet out. That's got to make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, we got a little wind in our sails off that. You know, it's been a wonderful summer for yearling sales. I just noted over at Goff, they too had a great sale, but we killed it. Yeah, $308 million nearly, the highest total we've had for the yearling sales since 2008. 13 millionaires. What's exciting about this now is we get to follow them, because that's kind of like the NFL draft, if you will. And you see 150 plus graded stakes winners coming out of previous September yearling sales. So now we get to carry on and watch them. And if you look at the stakes that are going on later this afternoon on both coasts, there's a ton of Keeneland graduates in there. And heck, there's even one in the Arc. Order of St. George came out of our sale. So, you can follow these Keeneland graduates all over the world.
Keeneland Vice President of Racing and Sales, Bob Elliston, joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Keeneland Select here this morning. Bob, let's talk about what folks can look forward to seeing when they come out to Keeneland next week. They'll, of course, see those 9 graded stakes races contested over the course of the 3 days. We touched on this earlier, 8 Breeders' Cup win in your in events Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's spectacular.
Yeah, you know, we could probably do 2 hours just on those cards, but I was looking at the possibles this morning, and there are really 4 races that jump off the weekend for me. That I think that's the Shadwell, the First Lady, the Tyrrell Boys race, the Claiborne Breeder Futurity, and then the sprint race, the Stolkeenan-Ogden Phoenix. Each of these races have some compelling storylines. The Shadwell itself, when you look at American Patriot, who won this spring in the Makers 46, up against Divisadero, who's one of the best grass horses in the country. Heart to Heart for Brian Lynch is coming back here. And we got Mondelez returning from, you know, a decent effort up at, I think got caught way behind up at Woodbine, second race off a layoff here in the States, and that might be a dynamite one. We got Time Test coming back with Chad Brown for Judmont. And then a German invader, Suedus, who is coming over. So that's in the First Lady, but Suedus is for David O'Meara, who runs on in Europe. But yep. that's compelling. The First Lady, I mean, Dickinson, Donna Bruja, Hawksmoor, Miss Temple City, Rocco Roja. I mean, these outstanding fillies and mares are going to, I think, put on a show in that grade one as well, pointing to the filly and mare turf.
Yeah, it's always a fantastic weekend, and it sounds like a lot of the horses did stay here in Kentucky instead of shipping out to race elsewhere. That's fantastic.
You know, particularly on the grass races, clearly the Shadwell and the First Lady have risen to a level of prep, but in their, you know, for the Breeders' Cup, but in winning those races themselves are quite an honor when you look at who's gone through those pathways in the past. And and then the Breeders' Futurity, that two-year-old race. I'm looking here, the second and third in the hopeful behind Wayne Lucas's winner there. Probably would have gotten Wayne's horse, too, had Sporting Chance, had he not, you know, got a chip. So you got two accomplished horses that ran right behind him in Free Drop Billy and Give Me a Minute. And then, you know, Tom Amos had one for Tom Benson, break his maiden at Saratoga by 11 in Lone Sailor. So he could be anything, right? So, yeah, we're fortunate. I think, you know, the stature of Keeneland's racing over these 80 years plus that we've been doing it is a testament to the folks who sat in these chairs that I'm fortunate to sit in now. And, you know, I can't wait to get going.
Well, Bob, not only will people be able to witness those great horses when they come out to Keeneland on Fall Stars weekend, they'll also be able to wager on them, and there are some outstanding guarantees that are going to be offered into the pick fours and pick five wagers throughout Fall Stars weekend. But that new wager that you're introducing this year, the pick four, which is in conjunction with Belmont Park, people will be able to wager on the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity and the Shadwell Turf Mile, as well as the Jockey Club Gold Cup and one other race to be determined at Belmont on Saturday. That's a neat little wager.
I think so. I mean, it gets folks following from across both those major race days. Three, as you mentioned, are grade ones there and very compelling races. And it's fun to be able to add a little variety to that. I mean, we're very pleased with the level of wagering guarantees and wagering menu that we're putting together. But when you're able to add that additional element to it, it just grows the excitement and keeps people engaged, you know, throughout the whole afternoon.
The other wager that caught my eye was that new daily wager you're introducing, the Rolling Super High Five. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, so each race, we picked this up, I think Gulfstream was doing it, and each race has a super high five offered within it, and within the race card, there's opportunities for carryovers. So if you don't hit it in the first, you know, you pay the consolation, and the remaining balance goes to the second. So over the course of the day, if, you know, and this is something I think unique that creates some real opportunity for us here at Keeneland, we have deep fields. We have 10, 12 horses a race in a lot of these races, and so they're evenly matched because they're coming from different places to race here, and so you have a very live shot to see a carryover within a day that will create some excitement later in the card. So that's the idea there is really create one of those opportunities where hopefully folks don't have to anymore send their withholdings to the IRS, thanks to our friends over at the NTRA and horse players all over the country for advocating for that.
Yeah, that was a great move, and that's going to help a lot of people. I wish it was retroactive.
Bob Elliston with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, some news coming out this past summer, back in August, that Keeneland, not well-received, I guess, by a lot of horse players, that Keeneland was going to increase takeout for certain bets throughout the fall meet and moving forward. Talk a little bit about the decision to increase the takeout from the Keeneland perspective anyway.
Sure. No, I mean, no company, no person who's marketing a product wants to raise their price, right? And so you have to evaluate that in the context of what's competitive and what the competitive landscape is. And actually, Keeneland was by far the lowest takeout on a blended basis of any track in North America. And so when we look at that, and this is particularly important, I think, as it relates to the Keeneland mission and what we do with these resources that are generated, you know, by taking our takeout to a level that was competitive with other major racing jurisdictions like New York, like California, like Florida, like Oaklawn. We don't believe we are pricing our product at a premium level. We're pricing it at a very competitive level, still one of the lower five in the country. But those additional resources are used uniquely by Keeneland to put back into the industry. And it takes different forms. It takes purses, obviously. We have the third highest purse structure in the country behind Belmont and Saratoga. And we need to keep fueling that because that's really what drives capital investment in this business. And so by still remaining competitive on our pricing, we're able to generate additional resources and put a significant amount of that back into purses. But we also invest in the fan development piece. How are we getting new people to love this sport like the three of us love it? And that takes a lot. As you know, when you've got 1,200 acres of beautiful property and these brilliant facilities that we have that are drawing people into it, you have to keep it competitive. You have to, you know, we're going up against major league venues that have hundreds of millions of dollars invested in them, and you can't let that lag. And then thirdly, you know, things that are going to improve the sport from an integrity standpoint, be it research into laminitis, be it other welfare issues that are affecting constituents in this business, all that takes resources. And we are actually, I think a lot of folks think of us as a non-for-profit, but we're not. We're actually a for-profit company. But we have this mission to put any additional resources beyond what we spend on running the show back in the business. And so we hope our horse players understand that we're still competitive in pricing. We still have an incredibly quality product, but that they're helping us contribute back into important things within the industry.
Yeah, I think the biggest argument I heard, Bob, from fans who were upset about this decision on Keeneland's behalf was, as you just alluded to, wait a minute, now Keeneland, hold on, you have a sales company and you're supposed to be not-for-profit, as you just said, that's not the case. And they were very upset because it was Keeneland doing this. If it had been any other track, I think they would have understood, but they were upset because it was Keeneland. So how do you address those fans that took that approach and may still take that approach?
Well, I think they look at the proof is in the pudding. What do we do with those resources? First and foremost, you have to remain competitive. Keeneland hasn't raised its prices to a non-competitive level relative to other purse structure or other prices on products. Having said this, and I've said this before, I think we all as an industry need to find alternate sources of revenue. So even at this competitive pricing level we're at, we need to be thinking about ways to drive that down to other competitive gaming products, right, that don't have as much of a takeout. And that's why we're also investing in things like historical racing to allow us to generate resources that are always reinvested back into the industry, as I noted earlier. And so as those things get to fruition, as they reach maturity and produce more, it enables us to look back at these kinds of things about wagering pricing and things like that. So, but at its core, I think the fan and the horse player need to go back and look at, is Keeneland doing things the right way from a mission standpoint? Are we being entrusted with their hard-earned dollars and spending them wisely that ultimately may make this sport better? And if they ask themselves that, I think they're going to be hard pressed to find other racing venues that put their money where their mouth is, so to speak.
Well, as you know, I worked for Keeneland for 13 years, and I remember when I first went to work for Keeneland, I sat in meeting after meeting about raising the price of admission from $2 to $3.
Yeah.
And as a Californian who was paying, you know, $10 to go to the clubhouse back in 1975 or whatever, I just couldn't believe that there was so much thought and discussion over raising the entrance fee a buck, you know. And it was a real eye-opener for me, and I think people have to realize that Keeneland thinks of the fans all the time. They want the fans to have the best experience possible. It's so important to people that work at Keeneland that the fans enjoy themselves, And you know, they really do don't want to price people out of the racetrack. They want everybody to come. They want the college kids to be able to afford it. They want, you know, people that are on fixed income to come and have a good time. There's a lot of things you can do that are no takeout, for instance, like the Wednesday contests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a lot of things Keeneland offers that other racetracks don't. So I think you have to look at the big picture, not just the small takeout picture.
That's kind of you say, Jude. And yeah, you did have a first, you know, you were right there ringside to see that, and nothing's changed there. I mean, we're $5 now, okay? So $5 to come into this place to see this kind of quality racing, to me, is the best value you can have in any kind of sporting venue. You can come out here and tour the, you can come around this place and experience it whenever you want for nothing. You know, Saturday mornings, breakfast, I mean, tomorrow, this morning, I mean, this coming Saturday when we have our opening part of the weekend with families, I mean, there's all these kids out here running around enjoying themselves. I think breakfast is like $3 or something, you know, and so you're exactly right. We take it seriously, our role in fan development and being stewards of this great sport, and we're going to continue to challenge ourselves on those things. But at the end of the day, we are still a business, and we have to invest properly in that business so that 80 years from now, we still have those crowds and those people who love this game.
Bob Elliston with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, really do appreciate the time. Enjoy your final weekend as a fan before you jump into running the show at Keeneland next weekend. We'll be there with all the coverage on Fall Stars weekend and look forward to seeing you out there.
Thanks, Mike. You said it earlier. I mean, you guys have been Pied Piper from the beginning. Keep up the great work. You too are stewards for this industry, and we love being on and we love having you out. So you guys have a great one.